yesterday at this time, and I'm sure you weren't with us, Mike.
Hadn't quite made it to the channel by this time.
And that's quite all right, because the three of us are rarely up at this time.
I know.
Gordon was telling us a story about an old car of his, because George had initially brought up the topic of changing the legal driving age from 16 to, his radical idea was 17. So it got us talking about when we were kids in our first car and when we first got our driver's license. So I thought we'd spend this segment talking about our first cars. And eventually, Gordo, I want you to tell one of my favorite stories, and that is the story of the car that you had. I believe it was a girlfriend's car that you had to drive with the heat on no matter what time of year it was.
Yeah.
But I thought, Mike, we'd ask you first. What do you remember, if you can go that far back in your memory banks, what your first car was?
Well, it's funny you'd mention that, Craig. It was a Model A back. No, it was it was a Ford Falcon, and I believe it was a 1968 Ford Falcon.
What did a Ford Falcon look like?
It was what would have qualified.
It's down
as,
in the parking lot right now. <if you want. laughs>
it probably qualified as a compact car for the day. I don't have a real vivid memory of it.
He's blocked it out.
It didn't last terribly long, to be honest. There were some issues there.
That's that human ability to block out trauma.
Oh, mm-hmm. Exactly. But I went fairly quickly from that to a Chevy Impala, 69 Chevy Impala, that rusted so badly, you know, in the Midwest with the salt on the roads and stuff, and that was before all the rust proofing. It would rust so badly on the bottom that literally puddles would form on the floorboards of the back seat. It was not good. But I guess technically 68. Yeah, that's my baby.
68
right
Ford
that
Falcon.
That is it. That's it. Right
remember
there.
What color did you
it,
say?
Roughly that color. It was some variation of that puke green that you're looking at right there.
I think that's blue, isn't it?
Is
yeah.
It?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, do you have a colorblind issue?
No, we don't need to get into that right now.
Oh, you are?
No, really?
Oh, we're so sorry to hear that.
Are you really colorblind?
But I enjoy working with a couple of African-American gentlemen like yourselves. I'm enjoying that this morning. No, I'm fine.
Oh, you're okay.
68 okay. Ford Falcon. That was my first.
Well, this doesn't look like a bad car for a young kid in Iowa
in the
60s.
It wasn't in great shape. That's what that was. And it was the mid-70s, sir, by that time.
That's right.
If I may say.
See, I thought being from Iowa that maybe your first car would have been a tractor.
Boy.
Combine.
No, I was a town kid. We had almost 800 people in my town, so I was not a farm boy.
No, you were a city slicker.
I was not a farm boy. But there some of the kids in my class would, you know, drive a tractor around on a Saturday night from time to time.
A horse, maybe?
You like to eat, don't you, Craig?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, that's what we do in Iowa. Okay.
Well, I don't eat that much corn. Isn't that the only thing you guys produce?
Corn and soybeans, of course. And
dissatisfaction.
And hogs.
The major
and,
exports.
You know, highest literacy rate in the nation. Things like that.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Where are you from, Gordon?
I'm from Mississippi. Yeah.
Okay.
I believe that's the lowest literacy rate in the nation, but...
Oh, we're all Texans.
In third
now,
grade,
we
learn how to read Mississippi. We learn how to read the state name. That's third grade. Take it out.
So the Ford Falcon, and Gordon, you didn't really have... Was the first car the one you told us about yesterday?
Well, the first car that... See, I never really had my own car. I always had to just use one of the family vehicles.
Right.
And every once in a while, there would... I'm trying to think if we ever had a surplus vehicle. I don't think we ever did. We only had two. But it was a 1986 Buick Skyhawk that I remember really driving a lot by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was in such disrepair. My dad would insist on doing all the repairs for himself, but you had to fit it into his schedule. So you'd be leaking transmission fluid everywhere, and he wouldn't get around to replacing the seal on the transmission. And so you would just have a whole trunk full of empty transmission fluid bottles, you know, because you'd use one and throw right. it in the back. And had that, it had the, you couldn't open the door from the inside, so if a car fire ever happened, it was a little rough getting out of there, a little
wow.
touch and go. You had to roll down the window to reach outside to open up your door.
What a beating.
And then that would get beat. That was a beating because the actuator only worked about, I would say, about 6 inches down on the, it was an electric window. And so you got crease arm because you had to go over the window and really strain to get down there to the handle. That was a beating. The tape player, it had a cassette player in it that in order to listen to tunes, you had to kick at the dash over and over again to get the thing started, the tape player. And so the dash was in a state of disrepair because of all the gangland violence that it suffered at your heel. But that car lasted a long time. The engine never would give out. Huh. Kept wanting that to give out, or my dad would buy a new one. So that was one of our first cars. My brother bought a Fiat that he quickly abandoned, and then I started driving it. That one had a bad alternator, so you had to travel with a battery charger with you with a 200-foot extension cord. And it was such a beating because you only had a range of about 2.5 miles.
Right.
So there were certain friends I could visit, and then the other ones I just lost touch with. And my friend that I would go and visit had an apartment nearby. He had a second-floor apartment. So you would have to run the cord from your car. You'd try to park as close as you could to his apartment and then run the cord up over the, you know, he had to stand up on the balcony while mm-hmm. you threw the lasso up there to of the extension cord where he could plug it in, where you could plug your car in, and then you would have to visit for a minimum of a couple hours
to what get
the battery back up.
God.
And that one, also the top was broken on that Fiat. It was a rag top, so you had to, it was not an all-weather vehicle. And there were a few times where I had to make trips in the rain. And it had those stupid little bitty Italian vacuum pump wipers on it,
uh-huh.
which at an intersection, you know, when you're idling at 800 or so, the things would just barely be moving. So you would have to gun it in order to get any sort of windshield wiper coverage.
What a thrashing that sounds like.
I mean, every one of them.
No wonder
cars.
Your brother abandoned it.
Yeah. He abandoned it.
But no story is as good as the story of the girlfriend's car where he had to drive with the heat on.
There were actually a couple of cars like that, Craig, including that Skyhawk eventually got that way, which was there was a crack in the heater core. And so back then you could convince garages to bypass your heater core. And that was actually that is when you can't get any heat off of it. There was also another one you're thinking about. That was a girlfriend's car. It was a Mazda 323 that she had decorated with cows inside, where there were plastic cows everywhere in there. And I tried to fix that radiator. She never changed the antifreeze in it. And I eventually did try to change the antifreeze and opened up the bottom of it, and just rust pours out down my parents' driveway, down the alleyway, which remained rust-colored for a couple years
wow.
afterwards, right down the center of the alley. And that one, the radiator wouldn't draw the heat off, so you had to turn on the heat at all times in order to keep the car from overheating. So you would be in the middle of summer with the heat blaring inside the car. And that poor girlfriend used to have to go to work. She was a cocktail waitress. And she would have to go to work and just be dripping sweat by the time she got to work.
Weren't the windows also stuck or semi-stuck? Or
yeah, the windows were stuck, so you couldn't roll down the windows in order to get some relief from the Sahara-like heat that you had going on inside the car. And rode that out for a couple years.
Oh, my God.
Gordon's like a wrestler trying to make weight. Driving around in the summer.
Right. Trying to sweat it off at the last moment to make the weight.
But God, that sounds so miserable.
I have such a long history with beaten down cars.
Yes.
And now I don't do that. Now that I'm gainfully employed, I mm-hmm. take care of the maintenance.
You
just take it in, they handle it, and you keep up with it. You keep ahead of that stuff.
My first car was
yours, Craig?
I remember it vividly. It was a Mercedes SL450 coupe.
Unbelievable!
And
what a lot of
privilege.
No, it was an '81 Chevy Monte Carlo.
Nice.
And I got lucky because right when we moved from Oklahoma City to Dallas, my dad moved down here for a new job. Well, his new job gave him a company car, and that's exactly when I turned 16. So I got. They bumped all the cars down. My mom got my dad's car, and I got my mom's car. And at the time, it was only a few years old. So It was a pretty good car, and I drove it into the ground. I drove that all through college and early adulthood, and I was so bad. Well, I didn't have any money to repair the car.
Right.
So I had a leaky front tire, and all I would do, instead of replacing the tire, I would go to, you know, Target or wherever, AutoZone, and I would get Fix-A-Flat. And like once a week, I would just pump Fix-A-Flat into
that
tire.
Bad.
It was so bad. And I must have spent $200 on Fix-A-Flat instead of $80 on a new tire.
That tire had to be so out of balance.
It was awful.
Because I bet you didn't follow the recommended instructions on that Fix-A-Flat.
I don't think I ever read them.
Well, see, that's goo that gets in there. And if you got to pour it in there and you got to start driving immediately, you know, where you can get that stuff really spread around with centrifugal force.
Yeah, I don't think I always did that.
So, see, it's pooling up and then congealing down there. And so you get, you know, a 1 pound weight now on one side of your tire. Yeah, that's horrible. And you're only supposed to use that stuff once and immediately go someplace and get it fixed.
Yeah, I bet I used it 20 times. I bet I bought 20 cans of Fix-A-Flat to get me through my last year and a half in college.
Gosh, just go and get the tire patched.
The Monte Carlo was considered a very cool vehicle.
Yeah.
To me, anyway. I always liked the look of the Monte Carlo.
You know, it was cut from the same mold as the Cutlass. The GM Chevy version was the Monte Carlo. The Oldsmobile version was the Cutlass. The Buick version was the Regal. They were all basically the same body.
Wasn't the Grand Prix? I think the Pontiac Grand Prix was the same thing.
Yeah, all basically the same. And yeah, I thought it was a great car. I loved it.
Yeah, some power in that thing.
Yeah, not bad. That's when my cousin and I were driving like jackasses when we got our license for the first time. And that's the fastest I've ever been in a car. I think we got that car up to 110 or something like that on a country road outside of Lancaster. Could have killed ourselves and others, but we were stupid at the time.
That's all right. Nobody got killed.
Fastest you've ever gone in a vehicle, Gordon?
It was over 120 on the tollway once when I was in high school.
Really?
Yeah, my friend had a Caprice Classic, and that thing had the big V8 in it. And I would be the navigator, and he would be the driver. So he would just look straight ahead, and I would tell him, change now.
Oh, my
change
God.
Change now. Left. Change now. Wait. Now.
Oh, that sounds awful.
I know.
It makes me nervous.
What a white knuckler.
And it had the big engine in it, but the suspension system, you know, those things, no, they have a lot of body roll to them and all that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was a real zippy feel to that 126 miles an hour or whatever we hit. 128, I think it was.
Yeah, when I think back to the handling of my Monte Carlo, it was just awful.
Right.
You know, just big old steering wheel, and it took a bunch of turns to...
Mm-hmm. Took about three people to turn it.
Yeah.
It will stun you guys to learn that I am somewhat of kind of a conservative driver. I'm not real daring on the roads, but I actually set a speed record on the way in this morning.
Oh, did you really?
67 miles an hour I hit at one point. So
no wonder you look a little
scintillating,
frazzled this morning.
I was a bit shaken.
Oh, congratulations
there for a moment, but you know,
Mike Ducey went 67 in his 68 Ford Falcon on his way to work.